Spain votes this weekend, though an election probably won't help its jobs problem and the impact of empty beaches, elephant preserves and ancient Buddhist caves in Sri Lanka. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, Chinese President Xi Jinping wants to ease concerns about his ambitious Belt and Road Initiative at the Global Infrastructure Programs Conference in Beijing. He said it would be financially sustainable for the countries involved. The BBC's John Sudworth has more.
President Xi Jinping's opening speech was full of the kind of rhetoric and lofty idealism you'd expect from a man whose pet project this is. But there were signs, too, that he's been listening to the mounting criticism that the massive infrastructure projects now being funded across Asia and Africa saddle poorer countries with unsustainable debt and work primarily for the benefit of Chinese banks and construction companies. Mr. Xi spoke about the need for transparency and environmental sustainability and pledged zero tolerance for corruption. 37 heads of government are attending the Belt and Road Forum, but in a sign of the divisions over the plan, others, like the US and India, are notable by their absence.
John Sudworth in Beijing. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed. Oil prices are continuing to fall from 2019 highs. Brent and U.S. crude are down more than 1%. And on Wall Street, investors are awaiting the release of the latest U.S. growth figures. The economy is expected to post annual growth of around 2.3%. Now, Spain is holding its third election in 4 years. The big issues are unemployment and corruption. And the issue of Catalonia's independence has split the government and the electorate. The BBC's Guy Hedgecoe is in Madrid.
Unemployment in Spain, at the moment, it's at around 15%, which sounds very high, but that's actually fairly moderate by Spanish standards. It reached 27% at the height of its recent economic crisis. There's a feeling that there are structural issues in the Spanish economy. It's always difficult for it to get unemployment down into single figures. New figures came out yesterday showing that in the first quarter, there were 50,000 jobs were destroyed. So that's not a very good figure.
Spanish politics are fractured between left and right. Polls are suggesting they'll stay that way. So how does Spain make progress on some of these issues?
Well, I think it's very difficult. Once a new government is formed, if one can be formed, it will be a coalition or some kind of governing partnership. And that means that the party at the center of the government has to make a lot of concessions, and it's very difficult for it to introduce major reforms. Now, the socialist government has wanted to make reforms to the education system, changes to the labor market to make it. And that hasn't been possible in recent months because it's been a weak government. If we have a similar situation in the next legislature, it will be very difficult for major reforms to be implemented in Spain. And again, we'll see the new government introducing certain changes that affect the economy, an increase in the minimum wage we saw a few months ago. But it's not the kind of big structural reform that many in Spain want to see.
Guy Hedgecoe in Spain. Decades of civil war and the 2004 Asian tsunami crumpled Sri Lanka's economy. In the last decade, a revival of tourism has helped rebuild it. But after the Easter Day bombings killed more than 200 people last week, governments including the US and UK have warned their citizens against traveling to Sri Lanka. Angelina Ondaatje is director of Tangerine Tours in Colombo. She has a plea for those governments.
We hope that once the security situation has been brought under control, that these will be revised. From a greater point of view, this is so important to the economy, and I think we expect governments to be sympathetic to us. This seems to be like a much larger problem than a local one. It's a very resilient country. We've been through war, we've been through a tsunami. I mean, there is a fighting spirit. This is a beautiful island. Nothing has changed in that sense, and that's what tourism is about.
Tour operator Angelina Ondaatje there. Well, the BBC's Ambra Sanetirajan in Colombo explains what draws global visitors to this island off the southern tip of India.
Sri Lanka is a mixture of lovely beaches, wildlife, and also people come here for surfing. And one of the beautiful spots here in this country, in the southern city of Gaul, overlooking the Indian Ocean. It is a mixture of Dutch, Portuguese, colonial style forts, And the food is quite interesting here. They have seafood, very spicy. And people come here for whale watching. So it is a great destination for tourists around the world.
And tourism has been surging again in the last decade after the end of the Civil War, after the recovery from the Asian tsunami.
The Civil War ended in 2009 with the defeat of the Tamil Tiger rebels. And since then, tourism has been steadily growing. And last year, nearly 2 million tourists visited this country, bringing in a revenue of more than $4.4 billion. It is the third biggest revenue earners for the country, and it is providing employment. And if you go to central Sri Lanka, for example, in a place like Habarana, which is known for its wildlife elephants, you'll find high-end resorts. So it caters to a wide variety of people.
How worried do you think people are generally then about the impact of these Easter bombings? Because a lot of governments are saying to their citizens, don't go to Sri Lanka.
That's a big worry for the Sri Lankan government. That means many hotels along the coastal line here will not have their business. That means job losses and then loss of revenue for the government as well. So it has a far-reaching impact, even beyond the tourism itself. If countries are issuing travel warnings, that will also trigger foreign investments, you know, going away from Sri Lanka. And then if you go to borrow money from outside market, the interest rates will be a bit higher because of the threat and the risk factor. It is not simply about tourism. It has got other impacts in the economy. And that is why people, as well as the government here, are really concerned about what's going on now.
Anbarasanetharajan in Sri Lanka, and I'm Anu Anand with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.